Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, brother. Thank you for tuning into the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Telecast. My name is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr., and I'm grateful for another opportunity to be used by God to share with you what the Lord has revealed unto me and placed in my heart. And I pray that as the Lord blesses you to get fed, that at the same time he feeds me. Doesn't matter how long we've been in ministry. It doesn't matter how long we've been used by God to teach his word. We can read the same scripture over and over, and the Lord can feed us something that we didn't see before because of God's timing. I also like to encourage you to watch out, look on Facebook on my wall to see the other broadcast that's going to air after 12 o'clock. It'll probably air around between 1 and 1:30 in the morning. It's going to be a very blessed show. But it is important that we handle this. I'd like to ask you to turn to John. And while you're doing that, let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you asking you to forgive us for our sins and shortcomings, to forgive us for our faults and for our wrongs. We thank you, Father, for this time of fellowship and gathering before you. We thank you for handpicking us and sitting us before the computer or before the telephone that we might be able to hear your word and get fed by your word. We ask that you minister to us. Feed every last one of us. Make me usable and use me. Fill me with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and give us all a spiritual understanding of your most precious and holy word, and give us a receiving teachable for this moment, and teach us and feed us. We love you so much, and we thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do in our life. Now, Lord, I just ask that you increase my swordsmanship and allow me to be used by you as a skilled swordsman to be able to use relevant scripture, that you do the talking and not me, and prepare me for the other show this morning and a few hours also. Again, please forgive us for any and every sin we have committed up until this very point. In Jesus' name we thank you and we pray. Amen. Again, I'd like to ask you to get John chapter 8, and I'm going to be reading, far as I know, out of the King James Version of the Holy Bible. And while you're getting John chapter 8, I'm going to allow God to use me to read the description of this lesson, as is our custom. It is so important to study the Word of God. When studying the Word of God, you will learn God's truth, and His truth will expose man's opinions when it comes to spiritual things. So much tradition, so many opinions, so much neglect when it comes to God's standards, so much denial when it comes to being corrected by God. The Lord still sends apostles to teach people from God's holy word, and he still sends prophets and prophetesses to speak his holy truth over a situation. God still sends evangelists out in the field to convince a person to give their lives to Jesus. God still raises up pastors that won't let the people cause the pastor to compromise. God still educates and sends teachers so that they can explain God's holy word. Though the times and the years have changed, God hasn't. Be careful of the yeast of modern-day Pharisees and Sadducees. Their yeast will trip you up. Don't follow men, but follow Jesus. Delight yourself in God, not in you. Agree with God, and he'll do it. And this, my friend, is part one of this lesson. Oh, Father, again, we ask you to feed us and to minister to us because we need to hear your word. I'm asking that you make this lesson deep yet simple, and simple yet deep. And as you do so, feed us that we be much more educated and prepared. Because some of us have had the enemy launch an attack out against us. And some of us don't know how to come out of it. So we need answers. And you know who we are. In Jesus' name we thank you and we pray. Amen. Again, John chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 32 out of the King James Version. And if you have the red letter edition of the Bible, then you'll know which words were written in red. Like this one, verse 18. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The thought God gave me when he gave me this lesson is called agree with God and he'll do it. And it is whatever you need him to do. The title is Delight Yourself in God, Not in You. Before going forward, the Lord has led me, put it in my spirit to share some information with you. Because there's words and groups that are often mentioned in passages of the New Testament. Words such as Pharisees and scribes and Sanhedrin and Sadducees. And it's in my spirit to share with you some brief information on these groups. The Pharisees, the name meant separated ones. Now, just a few points to share with you about them. They were more of a fraternal order or religious society than a sect. Now, a sect is a group that is separated or divided. The Pharisees were very opinionated. They despised those that they didn't consider their equals and were haughty and high-minded. They were unteachable. They believed that they were the only interpreters of God and his word. They believed in the immortality of the soul. They believed in the resurrection of the body. They believed in the existence of angels and spirits. Jesus called them a generation of vipers. He condemned them for their work righteousness, because that's, they believed in works. That's what they considered that made them righteous. He called them hypocrites along with the scribes. Now, the scribes were a class of learned men whose occupation was studying and teaching the law. In the New Testament, they are called scribes, which is from the Greek word grammatios, which means a writer, and professionally a scribe or secretary. It also means a town clerk, grammatios. They were teachers of the law. They were connected with the Pharisees. They were sometimes with the chief priests, and they were considered qualified to teach in the synagogues. They strived for honor, which they demanded, especially from their pupils. They never held political power, yet they became leaders of the people. They were into external formalism. Life under them became a burden, and the reason why is because their traditions of the law became an instrument for preventing true access to God. Then there's the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a materialistic party among the Jews. They denied the resurrection. They denied the existence of angels and spirits. They held only to the written law and rejected the traditions of the Pharisees. They resisted the truth of the gospel. The root of the word Sadducee means to be righteous. The Sadducees are only mentioned in the Old Testament about a dozen times. When mention is made of the chief priests, the Sadducees are being referred to. They tried to discredit Jesus, and they joined with the Pharisees and the scribes in their attempt to destroy him. Then there's the Sanhedrin. That word Sanhedrin is from the Greek word Sanhedrion, meaning a council. The Sanhedrin was composed of 70 members plus the president, who was the high priest. According to Josephus, a Jewish scholar, in the time of Jesus Christ, the Sanhedrin was formally led by the high priest, who was a Sadducee. But the Sanhedrin, was practically ruled by the Pharisees, who were popular with the people. In the time of Christ, the Sanhedrin had civil jurisdiction, according to Jewish law, and also, in some degree, criminal. The Sanhedrin could also order arrests by its own offices of justice. Having that little bit of information, it is important to understand the context of what God is blessing us to study. See, these aforementioned Jewish groups or sects or schisms have their own policies and traditions that they followed and even taught. If you only looked at their clothing or heard some of what they believed or even noticed their outer ways, you'd think that they served God. Truth is, those groups are still around today and are spreading a gospel that is not in line with the gospel taught by the Holy Bible or in the Holy Bible. Believe it or not, there are some ministries today that denounce the resurrection of the body and who don't believe in angels or spirits. There are ministries that don't discuss demons either because of fear or because of being uneducated. There are even ministries that do believe in the resurrection of the body and that do believe in angels and that will also discuss demons and even give them names not supported in Scripture because of wanting to seem deep. Though God reveals some names of demons through extensive research, there still are some doctrines that are man-made and not biblical. It's sad that when God sends a leader to a ministry or in the life of someone that God wants to educate, that day the person God wants to educate doesn't listen. People have a tendency of going on their own understanding or going on what someone told them. You know, there's a lot of people that have become what you call church hurt. They've been dominated by people that have intruded in ministry, and those people have destroyed the heart and the mind of some people. And some people have actually had nervous breakdown because they were involved in the wrong ministry, and because they were lorded over, and because they were misled by someone professing to be strong in the Lord. I heard someone say that we were talking about a male minister who is sure enough gay, 100% gay, and it's sad that the ministries that invite him, some of them might have heard he was gay, but still they invite him, and they're not, you know, they're not knowledgeable of the fact that he's gay. But people in his hometown and people that know him are very familiar with his homosexual tendencies and practices. And unfortunately, this person said to me, well, I just appreciate the God in them. Okay, that's understandable that you think because they read a scripture or two that the God of heaven lives in them. I won't at all challenge the fact that there is a God in them. I want to challenge that. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, scripture says, actually verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So I'm not going to challenge the fact that, yes, there is a God living in him, but not the God of heaven, actually the God of this world. See, you have to understand, when you are involved in studying scripture, you tend to learn God's standards. This is what Jesus was telling these Pharisees. And they said in John 8, verse 33, they said, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. So a person can believe that there's a God. A person can even mention the name of Jesus Christ. But if God's word does not live in them, then they are not a child of God. Scripture says in the book of James that you do well to say that to believe in God. You do well to say that there is a God. So do the demons, and they tremble. Yes, they tremble. Jesus went on to tell these people in verse 38 of John 8, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Glory. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. So Jesus told them, yes, you're Abraham's seed. I'm sure I know you are. You are Abraham's seed, but you are not Abraham's children. Jesus said that to them. He said that. If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Why? Because a child does the work of their parent. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You know all the cliches. In verse 40, Jesus said, but now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. He was saying Abraham didn't seek to kill me because of the truth. Then he said in verse 41, ye do the deeds of your father. They then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. That hasn't changed. Saint, God still sends people. He still sends leaders. You know, it's a blessing when God blesses a sheep to be connected to a leader. You know, a lot of people put their stock in a building. You know, I'm part of this building. I'm a member of this building. And I can't do anything unless this building tell me to. I can't do nothing unless the leader of the building tell me to. I can't, because that's who I follow. And it's worship. It's worship. The Lord used Brother Paul to speak about this. And I'm going to read this out of the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Lord used Brother Paul to speak of this, and I pray that this really ministers to the heart of someone. I really do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Brother Paul said, dear brothers, I have been talking to you as though you were still just babies in the Christian life who are not following the Lord, but your own desires. I cannot talk to you as I would to healthy Christians who are filled with the Spirit, capital S. I have had to feed you with milk and not with solid food because you couldn't digest anything stronger. And even now you still have to be fed on milk, for you are still only baby Christians, controlled by your own desires, not God's. When you are jealous of one another and divide up into quarreling groups, doesn't that prove you are still babies, wanting your own way? In fact, you are acting like people who don't belong to the Lord at all. There you are, quarreling about whether I am greater than Apollos and dividing the church. Doesn't this show how little you have grown in the Lord? Who am I and who is Apollos that we should be the cause of a quarrel? Why, we're just God's servants, each of us with certain special abilities, and with our help you believed. My work was to plant the seed in your hearts, and Apollos' work was to water it. But it was God, not we, who made the garden grow in your hearts. The person who does the planting or watering isn't very important, but God is important because he is the one who makes things grow. Apollos and I are working as a team with the same aim, though each of us will be rewarded for his own hard work. We are only God's co-workers. You are God's garden, not ours. You are God's building, ours. In the theology class of this ministry, and when the Lord sends me, when he sends people here to the ministry, and even when God has me out in the field, I'm careful, thank you, Jesus, to allow God to strengthen me, to educate the brethren and the sisters, and tell them, don't lift me up. There's some people that talk to me and say, you are my apostle, you're my leader. And I have to correct them and tell them, no, that's not true. Your leader is God. Listen, some of you just understood what the Bible said. God just used me to plant, and he uses another to water. Listen, those of you that God is preparing for ministry, don't get so caught up and be stuck in the building. I heard an uneducated saint tell me, and I feel so bad for her. God has me interceding for her daily, that she says she's planted in a ministry. I feel so bad for her because of the pain that she's went through, because of the church hurt that she's went through, because of how leaders have bamboozled her, tricked her, and deceived her. And it's all right to be a blessing to the man or the woman of God that the Lord is using to feed you in this season. That's a blessing. But don't stay on the bench, because God has called many to leadership. He's called many to leadership. Many are called, but few are chosen. because few say yes. It's easier to sit on the bench. It's easier to stay in your comfort zone. But God has chosen some of you that are listening to this broadcast right now. God has chosen you. He want to bless you. He want to educate you. He want to feed you. He want to loose you and send you out and use you to minister to the hearts of others. There's people out there right now that God has already predestined to meet you at a season in their life, and God is going to use the anointing that he placed on your life for that purpose, to minister to them, to feed them, to help them, to encourage them. And it's important that you let God do it. Don't get caught up in man, because man will deceive you. Scripture says in Psalms 37, verse 4, to delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And what a lot of people see is just, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's all they see. A lot of people just see half a verse and not the other part. And those that do see delight thyself also in the Lord, they don't understand what the word delight means. It's actually from the Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is onag. And what onag means is to be soft or pliable. Figuratively, it means effeminate or luxurious, delicateness, or to have delight, or to delight self. Now, where it says figuratively effeminate, what that means is soft, which is why there's certain offices God wouldn't put an effeminate vessel in, because certain offices are dominant. But that's another sermon, another lesson, another conversation. But onag, to be pliable. God want us soft and pliable. In other words, he want us to yield to him. He want us to be soft. He don't want us to be hard. There's some words that God has sent to some of us and said, change this, change that. And we don't want to do it. We don't want to take correction. Listen, if you're not in leadership and God blesses you to be connected to someone in leadership, whether they are in the building you go to every week or whether they're not, it don't even matter. Because God, you got to understand, and the Lord has put in my spirit to share this, and I hope you catch this revelation. Those of you in leadership, when you understand that you are a leader in the body of Christ, sent to the body of Christ, that broadens your territory. But when you limit yourself to a building, you're stuck. You're stuck. You have decreased your own territory. It doesn't make sense. People go to a ministry, a building, and they stay in that building 10, 15, 20 years, same bench or same position, doing the same thing, and groweth not. And there's even some people that have been pushed forward in leadership by someone that wanted to build their own kingdom. Yes, there's some ministers that want to build their own kingdom. There's some ministers that feel that if they ordain 20 people, then that makes them very deep. And that's not good. Because if a person is not trained for leadership, how are they going to be used by God to handle someone's life? You can't. Okay, if you've been broken, if you've been hurt, then you should be very compassionate towards other people's lives. Because sometimes God allows you to see things so that you would know what not to do when he placed you in ministry. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like the Sadducees. The Sadducees was very materialistic. They wanted honor. You know, they were very materialistic. And the Sanhedrin, they had their own justice. They were connected to the Sadducees, but they were ruled by the Pharisees, not God. scribes, though they were supposed to be learned men, their occupation was studying and teaching the law. This was their occupation was. They were professional writers. But they thought that they were so high up there that no one could teach. They were, and this Jesus, he rebuked all of them. He rebuked all of those groups. He rebuked all of them. He corrected all of them. He told them they all were wrong. They all were wrong. Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. He was a Pharisee. And Nicodemus, Jesus said, didn't understand spiritual things. Oh, God. Pray that this lesson has been a blessing to those of you listening. It is very important to let God prepare you. It is very important to agree with God. Some of you have been praying for some stuff and you have not got it yet because you're not agreeing with God. You know, you want this stuff. You want it. But some of you have wrong motives. You got to be real. Some have wrong motives. Some are just not in the season of being able to receive because you don't have the spirit, the right spirit to receive even what God has already promised you. And then there's some of us that don't have what we've been praying for because the enemy is withstanding us. That's why it's important to get into the Word, to look up the subject of whatever it is that you believe in God for. Look up the subject in the Word and see what the Word says about it. Some of you are believing God for a work to do for him, a ministry. Now look in Scripture and see what God said concerning ministry. Look and see what he used the man or the woman of God to write concerning ministry and preparation for it. Some of you men, God has called into the pastoral office. And you're wondering, well, why am I not a pastor yet? Well, read 1 Timothy 3. Study that. Find out what, you know, what you may be doing that's holding you up or what you're not doing that's holding you up. Some of you men, God have called in the office of apostle. And you're under the impression that apostles establish churches. Now, that word, church, is not a building. The church is not a building. It is the body of Christ. Yes, we apostles established the body of Christ. We established people in the faith, not a building. Because when you look at Jesus' ministry, his earthly ministry, Jesus did street ministry. He didn't have no building. He didn't set up no building and stay in there and have people there for 3.5 years. He didn't do that. The synagogues, which were the buildings at the time, they were polluted. They were corrupt. But what the Lord did is he went out there amongst the lost. He went out there, and when people knew he was in the region or area, they brought the sick to him, and he healed them. And see, one thing about it, he gave us apostles a certain assignment. If you look in Matthew chapter 10, and I want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost so that this broadcast don't cut off while God is using me to share this information. In Matthew 10, what the Lord said was in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and not into any city of the Samaritans, into ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Listen, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So yes, the Lord did say it's a blessing for a person to support the ministry, but listen, in verse 11, and into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. And if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. Now, I want to jump down. I want to jump down where Scripture says, freely ye have received, freely give. And what God was saying was, don't go out. It says in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Don't go out charging for the gospel, but God will send people to sow into the ministry. Listen, there are some people that even will say, God told me to sow into the ministry. He's told me to do this. He's told me to do that. Woe unto that person if they break their word after they say God told them to do it. Then it's rebellion and disobedience. But the Lord will send those to support the ministry. He will. But we are not supposed to be in ministry to get rich or be in ministry for material gain. We're in ministry to win souls, to usher people into the kingdom of God, to prepare them for heaven. And he said, don't take nothing with you. Sometimes we just have to go. Some people say, well, Apostle, with all the stuff God's using the ministry to do, why is it that sometimes the ministry struggle with the phone bill? Why is it sometimes, you said people don't sow into the ministry? Does that mean the ministry is not good? No, that's not what it means. See, because the devil wants to challenge good ground. And what he will do, when God put it in a person's heart to do something, if a person is not stayed on God, the enemy will come along and mess with their mind and send a spirit of compromise to tell them, no, you don't have to sow. Sow over here instead of over there. Brethren, get into God's word. Delight yourself in the Lord. Get in his word. Study his word and see what it says. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive us for our sins. Thank you for this moment of fellowship and gathering. Thank you for this feeding. Thank you for this nourishment. Thank you for all this. Lord, I ask that you allow us to hide your word in our heart, that we might meditate on it and ponder it and chew on it for the rest of the night, even tomorrow. And bless my brothers and sisters that are praying according to your will. This ministry touches and agrees with them. We delight ourselves in you and not in us. And we agree with you. And we thank you for blessing us with what we're asking for because we keep your commandments. As it says in 1 John 3:22, we love you, Lord, and we ask that you help us to show you that. In Jesus' name we thank you, we pray, amen. God bless you, saints, and stay tuned for the next broadcast, which is going to be between, I guess, 1 and 1:30, or no, it's 12:08 now, between 1:30 and 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's going to be dealing with marriage, I believe. God has given me a few things he put in my spirit. I'm going to see which way he wants to use me. So until then, God bless you. You can call the Ministry for Prayer, 203-745-8162, 24 hours. That's 203-745-8162. The ministry is open 24 hours, and God has me here to pray with you. If you're going through something, you don't have to go through it alone. Call the ministry, and let's pray about this. Let's rebuke the devil. Let's plead the blood against the devil. Let's snatch what God has for you. I love you all. In Jesus' name, God bless you.